From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. On Thursday, Kathy Kraninger, Donald Trump's nominee to head the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, faced a contentious hearing in front of the Senate Banking Committee. The mid-level bureaucrat, who has no discernible experience in consumer affairs or finance, was grilled by the Democrats on the committee. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, in particular, who led the fight to create the agency, questioned Kraninger about her involvement with the Trump administration's family separation policies in her current position, as well as with Kraninger's proposed budget for the Bureau. Alabama Senator Doug Jones questioned her on whether she would address racial discrimination in lending. There were many questions about whether Kraninger is qualified to lead the agency. Even the conservative National Review called her the wrong choice to lead the CFPB and opined, quote, law students currently doing summer clerkship at the CFPB will have more experience with consumer credit regulation than the nominee to lead the Bureau. But perhaps this was by design. Acting CFPB head Mick Mulvaney and President Trump have not hidden their desire to gut the main government agency ensuring that ordinary Americans are protected from predatory practices by banks and other lenders. My guest is Helene Olin. She is a blogger for The Washington Post's Plumline and The Nation. She's the author of Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Welcome to the program, Helene.
Thank you. And I need to correct one thing. The Washington Post moved me over to Postpartisan about a month ago.
So okay.
I am now on the Postpartisan blog.
Okay. So we'll correct that. So Helene, first of all, as far as you can tell, who is Kathy Kraninger? She's someone relatively unknown. Newspapers have called her a mid-level bureaucrat. Does she, as I mentioned, have literally like zero experience on consumer finance issues?
Yes. Essentially, Kathy Kraninger is a Republican cipher. She has been a lifelong bureaucrat in Washington for the most part. She was a congressional aide and then, you know, went to Homeland Security and then to OMB, considered a Mick Mulvaney protege. She knows about as much about financial services as the average consumer, as far as we know anyway, who picks up their credit card. We have no, you know, credit card bill every month. We have no reason to think she knows anything more about payday loans, credit cards, auto loans, credit bureau reporting than anybody else that you could frankly just pick up off the street. I mean, literally, like there's nothing on her resume that says Kathy Kraninger, CFPB, how could we miss her for all these years?
Okay, so let's actually listen to what it was that Elizabeth Warren asked her. Now, of course, Warren is a very important person on any issues regarding the CFPB because she was instrumental in founding the CFPB before she became Massachusetts Senator. Because Kraninger has no background in consumer finance, Warren asked her about whether she was involved in immigration policies. Now, a seemingly completely unrelated issue, but Warren framed her question as whether or not Kraninger, what her background is in standing up to power. Here is Elizabeth Warren and Kathy Kraninger.
So one thing consumers need in a CFPB director is someone who's willing to stand up to powerful people on behalf of those who don't have power. And that's why I want to focus on the Trump administration's child separation policy. Since March of 2017, you've been the head of the General Government Programs at the Office of Management and Budget. Is that right,
Ms. That's Manager? Correct.
It's an important job. The General Government Programs Division at OMB is in charge of overseeing both the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security. Is that right?
Yes, Senator.
And according to the disclosures you submitted to this committee, you, quote, serve as OMB's principal policy official for issues related to the departments and agencies you oversee. Is that right?
Yes, Senator.
So the Justice Department and Homeland Security are the two agencies most responsible for taking children away from their parents at the border, and you oversee policy issues at both agencies. But for a month now, you have refused to respond to Ranking Member Brown's and my request for information for documents relating to your role in child separations.
And that is Senator Elizabeth Warren questioning Kathy Kraninger on Thursday at the Senate Banking Committee hearing was as part of her confirmation process to lead the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. Warren went on to aggressively question Kraninger, and Kraninger was unable to give her a satisfactory answer. Helene, what do you make of this line of questioning she's basically asking her whether she was involved in enforcing immigration policy?
Again, Kraninger is a lifelong bureaucrat. She was, definitely at the at OMB and Homeland Security. We know that she was involved in the zero tolerance policy that resulted in children being separated from their parents at the border. What she basically said is that she would, she hadn't created it, which we do. But that she had advised, though when asked for what she advised, she wouldn't say, which basically leaves you to think she was in on it. And as Elizabeth Warren put it, it's just a moral stain. It's just horrendous. But the bigger point, not that this is a small point, obviously, because this is awful, is that she's basically there to do Trump's bidding, Mulvaney's bidding. And Mulvaney's bidding at the CFPB, as we know from his record at the CFPB over the past several months, is basically to dismember the CFPB to the best he can and kind of leave it as a shell of itself.
And on that issue, then, is her nomination to lead this agency basically Mulvaney's doing? Is this deliberate? Let's put somebody in place who really knows nothing about the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, as, you know, even Mulvaney himself wasn't very qualified. But let's do this because ultimately, we don't think this is an agency that should exist.
Right. Mulvaney, when he was in Congress, was known for saying he did not believe the agency should exist, and he called it a sad, sick joke at one point. He seems to be doing right now is this is kind of a heads the banks win, tails the consumers lose nomination, right? Kraninger knows nothing about finance that anybody else doesn't know, right? She's just pretty typical, presumably. And the thinking of the nomination seems to be is that Mulvaney was appointed when Richard Cordray left to run for governor of Ohio. He was appointed temporarily by President Trump. There are rules and regulations at the federal government level about how you can do this. And essentially, Kraninger was appointed within a day or so of when he was going to have to leave, right? You can be there for about 210 days. And then, of course, the clock stops when you nominate somebody. Now, if Kraninger wins approval of the Senate, which is a maybe, he gets somebody who presumably is his deputy, was his protege, and will continue to do his bidding at the CFPB in place. If her nomination is ultimately not voted on by the Senate or is denied, which is also possible, though not likely, he gets another 210 days, and then we can start the whole circus all over again. So he can continue on either way. I mean, this is just a really sad moment for the CFPB.
So if Kraninger is not confirmed, Mulvaney gets another several months leading it.
Right.
So it's a choice between Mulvaney and Mulvaney's protege.
Right, exactly. Or Mulvaney again, and then his next protege, right? Because he'll presumably do this all over again.
Wow. What was the line of questioning that Elizabeth Warren gave her in terms of the budget for the Finance Protection Bureau? Because, of course, one easy way to undermine any agency is to cut its budget.
Cutting the budget of the bureau by a little under 25%. And
wow. That's huge.
That is enormous, right? And Kraninger basically said that she, agreed with that, right? They actually managed to get an answer out of her on this one. But when asked what she would do, how that would be enacted, it was the entire hearing essentially consisted of Kraninger not giving answers to questions Democratic senators asked, and this was no exception. So essentially, we know that she will support these rather massive cuts that Mulvaney is looking to do at the CFPB, but we don't know how she will do them. That being said, how could this not be devastating to the Bureau?
Now, of course, a big part of the work of the Bureau, in theory, would be to protect consumers from discriminatory lending. This nation has a history in discriminatory lending based in Jim Crow racism historically, and that continues today. There's study after study shows that people of color, particularly African Americans, still face discrimination in lending for home loans and a whole host of other things. Senator Doug Jones, the newly elected Senator Doug Jones from Alabama, also questioned Kathy Kreininger, and he focused on this particular aspect, and we want to play a clip of his questioning Kathy Kreininger.
Should I be confirmed in this position that when I get to the Bureau, I will have a detailed conversation with the staff on this area to understand what positions the Bureau has taken in the past on this issue and what the status of litigation is on the issue and take the appropriate actions to ensure that we are promoting fair lending?
I think they've used it in the past and used it somewhat successfully, but Director Mulvaney has said he wants to get away from it. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to take another look at using disparate impact on an entire community, whether or not there's a sign that says we're not going to give this person a loan because they're black or Asian, but if it's affecting a broad swath of minority consumers, would you be willing to take a look at using the disparate impact theory to try to help resolve some issues of discrimination?
Senator, I will commit to you in establishing clear rules and making sure that they are enforced, that I will look at this issue absolutely.
I'm not sure if that's a yes or a no. I'm going to take it as a yes. But
and that's Senator Doug Jones of Alabama questioning Kathy Kreininger, who's been nominated to lead the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. She faced a hearing at the Senate Banking Committee on Thursday. So her answer, Doug Jones sort of joked, I'm not sure if you actually answered my question about whether you would take such issues seriously. Mulvaney and the Trump administration have also made it clear, right, Helene, that they are not interested in the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau actually enforcing existing laws in preventing discriminatory lending.
Right. I mean, it's discriminatory lending and it's other issues as well, right? Essentially, Mulvaney came in as a wrecking ball to the CFPB. And since he's been in, he has done everything from rolled back protections on discriminatory lending, particularly in auto loans, which has been a huge, huge issue for the minority community. He has supported the congressional rollback of the CFPB regulations that banned financial companies from enforcing contracts with consumers, that banned them from joining class action lawsuits and instead forced them into one-by-one mandatory arbitration, which is a major point, by the way, for everybody, both African-Americans, Latinos, whites, anybody pretty much, because it's much harder to go after a credit card company, say, for $20 on your own, right? And at the same time, for all sorts of people, for the credit card companies, this adds up to a lot of money, right? So that's been a huge issue. Nothing seems to have been too small for him to have missed, and presumably Kreininger as well. He's recently started an effort to put an end to the open database where people can write in and complain about their financial services firm, be it their credit card company, their mortgage company, or whatever. And you could go look at the database and see, Bank X has this problem, right? And he has said, well, I'm not running a Yelp for financial services, and is attempting to close it down. He has shut down the Consumer Advisory Board, and now has tried to bring it back with only a few insider members. And it just sort of goes on and on, basically. There is no consumer that is being left unscathed. And that is going to impact minority consumers more than anybody else, because they are traditionally, if all of us are punching bags, they're punching bags twice over.
Did the issue of mandatory arbitration come up in the hearing on Thursday?
I don't believe so, but I will say, in all fairness, I did not watch the entire hearing. I got assigned to another piece while I was watching the hearing, actually. It's already been rolled back by Congress, so there's really no move for the CFPB at this point. We need a new administration and a new Congress at this point, a Democrat majority.
Now, I mentioned that the National Review thought that Kathy Kraninger was utterly unqualified. What about Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee? Presumably, did they just basically give her softball questions? Or presumably, they're all going to sign off on her to lead the CFPB?
It certainly seems that way. I mean, I should backtrack for a moment. When the nomination was announced, there was kind of shock, right? Like, nobody had expected this. This came out of nowhere. Literally nobody knew who she was. It was reported that the banks were actually turning to Google to try to figure out who on earth this Kathy Kraninger was, because they had no clue, right? But the next day, you started to see statements of support from the financial services institutions. Kraninger is a great appointment, because of course, she's just going to follow what Mulvaney did, and they were really happy about it. Now it seems like the banking committee is fairly certain. The Republicans did indeed throw her tons of softball questions. Whether the full Senate will vote, it's an open debate still. It seems more likely than not. But on the other hand, you have to notice there's an election coming up in a few months. There's a lot of things going on. There's a Supreme Court nomination that's relatively controversial. And that has something to do with the CFPB as well, by the way, because Kavanaugh has said the CFPB is unconstitutional in a case that will likely come up before the Supreme Court.
Wow. This is, of course, being Brett Kavanaugh, the judge that's been nominated to Anthony Kennedy's position on the Supreme Court. Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of hard to know how this is going to play out next. I mean, I guess I would say she's definitively going to get past the banking committee. After that, your guess is as good as mine. I would say her chances are better than not, but I wouldn't say it's a done deal. But again, on one level, it's heads the banks win, tails the consumers lose. Your best case scenario is you get back to Mulvaney. Right. So why would you want that? It's just an awful situation. There's kind of in one of the many awful things in the United States in 2018 right now. Right.
So, Helene, these attempts to gut the CFPB, if we are idealistic and have a Democratic majority in Congress and possibly a Democratic president in 2020, can these, devastating body blows to the CFPB be rolled back? Can the agency recover?
It could, but it would take time. For starters, any appointee would presumably be in place for 5 years. And so that would go well into a Democratic administration at this point. And at least 3 years right now into a Democratic administration, if a president is elected. If a Democratic president is elected in 2020. So that's a concern. The other concern out there is, to be brutally honest about it, is not all Democrats have always been supportive of the CFPB either. And at various times, especially over the payday loan regulations that were also, surprise, rolled back by Mulvaney, a number of members of Congress from Florida have been fairly vehement that they are not very happy about them either. And those are Democratic congresspeople. I mean, the whole thing really goes to show that on one level, the power of the financial services sector really expands into both parties. It is worse for the Republican Party than the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party is not always an innocent party standing by. Despite the fact that it is indeed Elizabeth Warren who created the CFPB and pushed it through.
Now, I want to ask you a question that I couldn't find the answer to, which is that the CFPB has officially been renamed to the BCFP. It's now the Bureau of Consumer Finance Protection. Any idea what this is all about?
Mulvaney trying to make it more finance friendly. If you look at the statement on the CFPB's website, it has been changed to emphasize the financial services sector and management experience, not consumers first, the way it had been in the past. That being said, literally nobody appears to be using the new term aside from Mulvaney, so it's not clear to me that it's going to catch on.
I'm actually looking at the CFPB's website right now, and it still says CFPB. which is
bizarre. I wanted to say that I haven't signed on in the past 24 hours.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's still saying CFPB. The logo hasn't changed. So that's, and of course, this is part of these sorts of small issues keep slipping through, and it's right, death by a thousand cuts, I suppose.
Right. I mean, the whole thing is really about the fact that there's an agenda here and nobody cares about expertise. And that goes through the entire Trump administration, right? This goes well beyond the CFPB. This is clearly an administration that wants to do the bidding of big business, will do the bidding of big business, will make big business happy with them, and doesn't particularly care about the rights of American citizens or non-citizens or anybody here that is not that group. And so we're seeing it at the EPA, where they're rolling back, you know, provisions of, you know, as of yesterday, they're going after the Endangered Species Act, right?
Which is the topic of our next interview, so yes.
Fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly, it's a gutting of government at large, and the CFPB is just one of many targets. Finally, Helene, for all of the issues that the CFPB was meant to be created, that Warren helped to create, you know, to have this agency to look out for ordinary Americans who get fleeced regularly by predatory lending, is the CFPB the last sort of point of support for consumers? Are there other places in government, federally or I suppose at the state level, depending upon what state you live in, where consumers have any sort of government protection? Or was the CFPB it? I mean, I'm sort of talking about it in the past tense, but I shouldn't. But
I know. We're at the deathbed, right? Yeah. We're not, though. The patient can come back.
Yeah.
It's really at the state level at this point, and it depends on states, and certain states have better protections than others, especially like in terms of student loans, right? But the federal government and the Trump administration is trying to move in certain places and do away with that. So for instance, right now, there's a sort of brouhaha of a battle going on between the Trump administration and the Department of Education on one hand, and some of states that have more stringent rules around student loan collecting practices. And the Trump administration is, through Betsy DeVos, is basically trying to argue that these rules usurp the authority of the federal government, which will leave, you know, people even more powerless than they are right now in terms of protecting themselves from the financial services sector in the student loan area. And again, this is one area where I should say the CFPB has also been doing rollbacks. There was a dedicated office for student loans at the CFPB under Richard Cordray. Under Mulvaney, it has been wrapped up and folded into some other office.
Right. Well, Helene, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your blog from our website. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Helene Olin is a contributor to the Washington Post's Postpartisan blog. She is the author of Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. And we've been discussing Kathy Kraninger's qualifications. She's the nominee to head the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.